Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, 1 second. They did it to me again. Got me on here before I'm ready with the show open. Okay, here it is.
Good evening and welcome to Mud Toe at Midnight. I am your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. I have played my flute and I have offered sacred fire in the four directions. Please join me in sacred ceremony. I speak as spirit moves me to speak, and I invite you to do the same by calling me at 646-595-3440. And now, Mud Toe at Midnight.
Yay! Hi, folks. This is Mud Toe at Midnight. I am your genial host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. Thank you for joining me here this evening. Sorry for the momentary confusion there at the beginning. We have this little problem where the Blog Talk Radio has stuck in it somewhere a show that we aren't actually doing, and it's back-to-back with my show. So I can't call in like a few hours, that would be really bad. Usually I like to call in a few minutes early, and then I have everything ready to go when the hour strikes midnight. But now I have to call in exactly at midnight, and the call fouled up the first time, so I had to go and do it again. And that left me no time to get my opening blurb there aligned. So I suppose I could have just said it. I pretty much know what it says. Yeah, but it looks like there's some things in here on the along the music, because the music a couple weeks ago, all of the sound bites disappeared, and now they've come back. Plus, looks like they've added some. Wonder what this one's all about. Hold on. Well, that's kind of cool. Maybe a little bit. Okay, enough. What else we got here? Here's this could be interesting. Now, how many times during my show in the past would that little sound effect have been appropriate? Never mind. We're here now, and it's all good. Again, you're listening to my radio show. As I said in the open, I created the sacred smoke. In fact, I burned myself today creating the sacred smoke. So I have a sacred blister, but it's not too bad. But I do that because this program, more than anything else for me, is a spiritual exercise. This is my church. And within my church, I am... My words and my actions are protected under federal and international laws regarding the practice of indigenous spiritual practices. There's another word for it, but indigenous spiritual practice. I'm following. I just said what I was doing. I don't need to say it again. Anyway, that's what it's about. So we are in ceremony, and I invite you to join me inside the sacred circle today. I don't always talk about things that are necessarily sacred, maybe not necessarily what one would consider to be sacred in the traditional sense, but the sacredness comes from the fact that I speak as spirit moves me to speak, and my hope is that those words reach someone who might need to hear them. Now, we have my words tonight. You can always hear this show on the episode archive on Blog Talk Radio. I've also, for your convenience and listening pleasure, have been working on developing my own archive that's resonant on my website, which is mudtoesasquatch.com. I've got the first 20 episodes all lined up for you now, and I'm going to keep adding older episodes and also sort of add the newer, more recent episodes, tack them on to the end of the list. And then the two halves will meet in the middle, and we'll drive a golden spike or something when we get there. But of course, the goal is eventually, my goal is to get all of them on there before we get to our 200th episode, which should happen sometimes next year, so I've got a little bit of time. But I would like, I just don't know, I have this sort of fetish for completeness. I'd like to have them all up there, even though some of them probably not quite as exciting as others. So anyway. That's the housekeeping announcements for the evening. I haven't I haven't read any poetry to you for a while, so I'd like to do that, also because there was something I had promised I was going to do today, and I'm not going to be able to do because I was out later than I figured I'd be. I didn't get back to the apartment until it was already time to start getting ready for the show, just the stuff that I have to do just to get the show on. There's something else. I was going to bring down that that other musical instrument that Iggy acquired and gave to me as a gift. There are three musical instruments. The first one was the flute, Theodotus, the wounded flute, who I wanted to introduce you to a couple of weeks ago. And then last week it was the sticks that don't have a name yet. They're rhythm sticks that he brought back from Peru. There's a third musical instrument that he set me up with, and I was going to bring that down from the storeroom upstairs and set it up and play a little bit for you on that. Unfortunately, as I said, since I got here so much later than I figured I was going to, that didn't happen. So I'm going to have to put that off until next week. I'm sorry, those of you who tuned in specifically to hear that, it will be next week before that happens. So in lieu of that, I'm going to read you poetry. Aren't you excited? It's a pretty familiar piece. You'll probably, many of you will recognize it. If you've been to school in the United States, you will probably recognize it. I was reminded of it when I saw a post from my cousin JR, who is very into handbells. I don't know if you've seen these, like, handbell choirs. There, people have a bell in each hand, and each one is a note in the song, and they only chime in when their note is called for, and then all of these various individual tones combine together to make a very beautiful piece of music. And I saw my cousin had posted this picture of himself as he changed his profile picture, I guess, on Facebook. And this picture of him holding these just two absolutely ridiculous huge bells. I mean, for you to be holding in your hand, and you know, and the strength it must take to hold these things—not just to hold them up, let alone trying to get a musical note out of them. Then he's just pleased as punch, holding up these two big old bells. So that's what reminded me of this piece. And I'm only going to read the first stanza. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Again, the first stanza is fairly happy. The rest of the poem gets progressively more dreary, but I'm just going to stick with the happy stuff for this evening. So this is the first stanza of The Bells by Edgar Allan Poe. Hear the sledges with the bells, silver bells. What a world of merriment their melody foretells. How they tinkle, tinkle, tinkle in the icy air of night, while the stars that oversprinkle all the heavens seem to twinkle with a crystalline delight. Keeping time, 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 in a sort of runic rhyme, to the tintinnabulation that so musically wells from the bells, 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 from the jingling and the tinkling of the bells. Now see, was that such a chore? It didn't take too long, did it? Maybe I should read the whole thing. No, I won't read the whole thing. I won't read it. You can find it. I'm reading it from Fordham.edu. This is evidently the Fordham University website. And I guess the story is that there's a church there, and Edgar Allan Poe lived close to the church, and the church is what inspired Poe to write this poem. So if you find this on the, it says the specific line item is Fordham University Church. That's Fordham. But it's on Fordham.edu, and there are probably other places you can find it too. I'm sure there are. Edgar Allan Poe is pretty ubiquitous. Someone sort of on my list of people that have influenced me. It's sort of really too long ago to have influenced me terribly seriously. Although he more or less invented the short story, at least the form that we know it today. And since I am primarily a writer, my short stories are pretty much what I do. I almost by default, I have to say that I owe something to the divine Edgar, as Humbert from Lolita called him. And they did, what was the song? It wasn't the bells. It was a poem that he was reading to Lolita. And then she came up with a little bit of criticism for what the line is, what is written, sweet sister? And she replied, ulaloom, ulaloom. And she said about the, there was a line, vista, sister. So it's kind of twisted to be sista, vista, sista. And Lolita didn't care for that. She said it was like Lolita, sweeta. And then James Mason as Humbert Humbert was very amused by that. But anyway, enough about that. That was the Stanley Kubrick version of Lolita, not the book. I don't think those lines actually appear in the book. Don't know the book as well as I know the movie, which is really too bad. Okay, what else can we talk about today? I may have exhausted this line of reasoning. I can tell you where I was tonight, why I was so tardy in executing my responsibilities as master of this program. I was on my way home. I stopped. First of all, I've just finished my second week of, you know, five days full time. Actually, it's 7 hours, so it's not quite full time. That kind of, you know, wondering, can I do that? Can I still, after not having done it for a while and not being as young as I used to be, am I still able to hold down a full-time job? Can I still be an independent person on that level? And so far the answer is yes. It's been 2 weeks and then two straight weeks of 5 days. Now, next week won't because of a doctor's appointment, and I've made a couple other appointments on the same day, so they only have to miss one day of work. So it'll be a short week next week, but that's going pretty well so far. So I decided I was going to give a miniature reward to myself. I would catch some dinner on the way home and then get back on the bus. As I have been right, I rode the bus every day this week. My car has not moved since Sunday, and I have actually checked on it a couple times. Now, I won't be able to keep up that performance too much longer. I'm going to try and get through tomorrow without driving the car, although I'm not sure I'm going to be able to. Well, I'm jumping ahead of myself. For today, what I was going to do was I was going to catch some dinner in a Mexican restaurant on High Street, get back in the bus, and go down to the campus and have a walk through the museum again, the Brazilian modern art exhibit. There are a couple of pieces there which are sort of, how can I describe it? They sort of degenerate over time. Like there's one that's one piece that's made mostly out of oranges. So the idea is you come back to the exhibit a few times to see, okay, it looks different now because the oranges have been sitting out for 3 months. One that's particularly fascinating is they have a paraffin casting of a dog, and it's on this sort of hot plate. That's all the only way I can describe it, except it's not all that terribly hot. It's just a little bit hotter than it takes to melt the paraffin. So the dog just melts very slowly over a period of months. And so you go every once in a while to see the dog melting. So I was going to go see the dog melt today, and I can see the dog melt for free because I'm a member of the museum. I had actually walked inside the door. Yeah, I was inside the museum door, ready to walk up to the reception desk there and show them my membership card and get my little tag, which will allow me to get into the gallery. And my phone rang, so I stopped to take it. Actually, the caller ID was for Chief Iggy, but it was actually a young friend of his, actually a young friend of Chief Iggy's son, who's getting ready to join the U.S. Navy here in a couple of days. Well, he and Iggy and some other friends were on their way to the Blue Jackets game, which I will again raise my cloak of secrecy just for a moment and let you know that I do call Columbus, Ohio home, and we have an NHL team, the Blue Jackets, and they happen to be playing the defending NHL champion Chicago Blackhawks tonight, and he had tickets, so and he had an extra ticket and asked me if I wanted to go. So I turned away from the welcome desk. I was like 2 feet away. I was just ready, getting my card out, ready to hand it to him. Oh, sorry, going to this other thing. And got back on the bus, rode it the rest of the way downtown. Got in there, actually missed most of the first periods because it took so long to get there. It took them a long time to get there, too. And I made a harassing phone call to my brother, because my brother is a Blackhawks fan. He lived in Chicago for many years. And we actually went to see. It's odd because the Blue Jackets don't really get all that many people coming to their games. It's better than it used to be. But still, there's lots of empty seats at most Blue Jacket games, except when they play the Chicago Blackhawks, the Detroit Red Wings, or the Pittsburgh Penguins, because those teams, their fans come and buy up all the tickets. And so it's like being at a, you know, when they play Chicago, it's like being at a Chicago home game. There's actually more Chicago fans there than there are Blue Jackets fans. So that was the case tonight. And the Blackhawks did win the game. The game was tied, and the Blackhawks scored the winning goal with like 3 seconds left, which is precisely how they won the Stanley Cup last year, if I recall correctly. So there were lots of happy Chicago people and a somewhat smaller number of unhappy Columbus people at the hockey game tonight. But it was for me, I'll speak for myself, it wasn't so much about being there watching hockey, although certainly we did that. It's about being with a group of people that I don't get to spend as much time with as I used to, because I'm working now, because you know the restaurant is closed, we don't get to see each other that way, and just because we're all starting to move our own separate ways, and you know I guess I have to learn to be accepting of that. I don't know. I haven't really thought about it much until tonight, and that kind of made me feel bad too. You know, finally, when I was with them all and said, geez, this is kind of fun. I wish I'd made more of an effort to do this earlier. And then I got to thinking about how I haven't gone to have dinner with my daughter for a while. We had set up to do that on a regular basis, and she got a promotion at work. Her hours changed. We had some trouble getting together for a couple of weeks, and then just got out of habit, and we haven't done that anymore. And, you know, life, without getting too maudlin here, life is fragile and you can't take anything for granted. And I feel that I have been taking my family for granted. I've been taking my friends for granted. And I need to spend more time on those relationships. The problem, of course, is the sum total of time that's available. When you, and I forgot about this, and then I remembered it last year when I'd started a full-time job that only lasted for 3 weeks, and I'm reminded of it again that job that pays your bills really does absorb your life. So you know, if you're going to work, probably best to make it something that you really like. And the problem, of course, being that most people don't really have the option to look at things that way. So you know, I'm supposed to be applying for full-time jobs, and I come home and I'm so tired I just want to lay down and go to sleep. I have applied for a couple. One of them being I guess I have to call it a beauty school, because I wouldn't be beautying anybody. I would be working in their financial aid department. And there was another job they had too, there was a counselor, like an academic counselor job and a financial aid job, and I applied for both of those. Another one, similar jobs at ITT Tech. I've been applying for a lot of jobs like those. You know, at university jobs, I like that environment. And I like being in a position to directly help people. So if I'm going to put 40 hours a week into a job, that's the kind of job I want to put it into. As far as numbers of jobs, probably haven't applied to as many as I need to. That's slid. I need to get my taxes done. That has slid. That needs to get done here in short order. So I have assigned, and of course, no writing has gotten done in the midst of any of this either. So I'm trying to find a rhythm that's going to allow me to get all of the things that are important to me done. And in the meantime, I've taken tomorrow, Saturday, which is today now, and I'm dedicating that to getting the taxes done. And then when I get those taxes done, I will give myself a reward. And what the reward is going to be is I'm going to go downtown to, because it's what they call the gallery hop, which is an area town called the Short North, which is the part of the main drag, High Street, that's just north of the center of town. And it used to be one of the worst areas of town. It's like the teen prostitution capital of the Midwest. But some people came in and gentrified the place. And now it's all art museums and swanky restaurants. So once I get my taxes done tomorrow, I'm going to head down there. And I'm going to resist the urge to take my car. I'm going to take the bus. Now, the second half of this plan, I may finally chicken out and take my car. But the second part of the plan after the Short North is I'm going to go check out the Rocky Horror Picture Show again. I have a number of friends who are part of that shadow cast here in Columbus, shadow cast being the people who stand in front of the screen and act the thing out. I love Rocky Horror, and I love my friends who do it. I don't go very often because I'm dismayed by what the whole Rocky Horror experience has become. Of course, I used to go back in the 80s when it was quite a bit different. Now, I mean, I'm dismayed by the fact that the idea is the audience shouts things back at the screen. Well, back in the 80s, the things we shouted back would be shouted back in between the lines. You know, what was going on in the movie. In other words, it was as if you were actually talking back to the characters and they were talking back to us. Today, they pay next to no attention to the movie. They just yell out over what they're doing and have these long extended bits that people from the shadow cast do, standing up in front of the screen while the movie is unrolling. And that dismays me. But what's even really much worse than that is the level of hostility towards gay people that is in the callbacks to the screen. You know, it's all I won't share the words, but you can imagine it's all the this, the that. And frankly, at some point I want to crawl out of the place because it's very loud, it's very aggressive, it's very hate filled. And the crowd is generally very drunk, and so there's not a lot of the filters aren't in at all, and it's I can't imagine what it's me. You know, I'm hetero. I can't imagine what would be the experience of sitting there as a gay person and hearing those words said by people who really seem to mean them. So I don't. The whole upshot of that long sort of dissertation was, I just don't go. I just don't go so much anymore. Gosh, where did that come from? I sort of promised one of my friends that I would go this time, and this was before I realized that it was the day before I'm supposed to be going to see Iggy's son's soccer game. On Sunday, and we're going to be. I found out today we're not leaving for that until 10:30, so it's not quite as bad as I thought. I thought it's out of town. I thought we might have to be like leaving at 7 a.m. or worse to get there on time. They said we're leaving at 10:30, so I think that's probably doable. But the thing I'm worried about is, of course, getting a bus. You know, the movie starts at midnight and it doesn't get over with until after 1:30, maybe closer to 2 in the morning. And then I got to get home, and there's no bus running from the theater to where I live. If I could get back to High Street, I might just barely be able to catch what they call the night owl. They have a bus that runs back and forth up and down High Street until 3 in the morning. So I would have to either depend on someone who's not someone I see every day, someone that I would have to say, like someone in the cast or someone in the audience who I know have been drinking. Can someone give me a ride home, or I'm going to have to walk. And I walked it once. It is a long walk. It's also can be a scary walk. There are lots of spots where people who might mean one harm might be hiding. Also, there are a couple of places where the road is not exactly pedestrian friendly. There's no sidewalks, and you're sort of walking on the street. There's no curb either, so you're really kind of on on the road, and it's, you know, 3 a.m, and you know who's what level of intoxication that people are having going back and forth. And there's no overhead lights either. So there's no light, there's no curbs, there's no sidewalks, and you're just out there walking. And you could go around that part. I suppose it would be a lot longer sort of exposure to people who might do one harm. So I think what's going to probably happen is at some point after the gallery hop, I'm going to sneak back to my apartment and grab my car and have that at the theater. It should be the first time I've driven it since Sunday. I really probably ought to. I don't know. How often I meant to look this up on the Internet. If there's some, I know it's possible for gasoline to go stale. So you know, how often do I need to start the car up just to start it up? Now, next week it's going to be a busier week for the car because I have my doctor's appointment, like I said. Then the day before, I have an event at my friend's Energy Center, which I want to go to. And so those 2 days I will have to have the car out. And then on Thursday is street cleaning day. We have to get all our cars off of the road so they can run the street cleaners, and it does need it. But in this neighborhood where there are far more cars than there are available parking spaces, and then you take away all the spaces on one street, it can get very annoying real quick. But at least it'll be possible for me to be home from work around 5 o'clock before the parking situation gets to its worst. So that's that. What are things I need to plan for next week? I have my doctor's appointment. I got some not so encouraging labs back a couple of weeks ago. My blood sugar's up. My triglycerides are up. So again, the litany is going to be we need to increase the medication. And you know, it's hard for me to argue because I haven't done what I need to be doing. It's a lot of sort of depressive eating, but it's been eating and not great stuff and not according to a good schedule. So maybe the medication is something I need to. I take the lithium from my emotional disorder, but that's just a mineral that doesn't bother me so much. The metformin that I take, my blood sugar, bothers me a little more because it's a synthetic. And whatever it is they want to give me for my triglycerides is probably also going to be a synthetic. And then maybe I need to get more serious. I don't know what my doctor's going to say. Perhaps I need to get with some of my friends who are into these essential oils and find out from them what they have that's good for blood sugar and for triglycerides. Because I mean, the bargain I want to strike is okay. When we bring the numbers down, you're going to throttle back my prescription, correct? I don't know, but he's going to want me to test. I don't want to test, and I turn 50 next week, so they're going to be talking about the colonoscopy again. I feel good about my relationship with this doctor, but I feel like certain things are coming to a head, and I don't know if it's going to. I'll have to see. So we've come to the end of our half an hour together. I hope you enjoyed the show. Hope you come back next week to find out the identity of that third musical instrument. I hope you will go on to mudtoesasquatch.com to check out some of the old episodes and also to read some of my writing, which is going to lead to a book in August of 2014. I'm going to keep saying that so that it will actually happen. And I'm going to blow out the sacred fire and head for bed. So I will see you next week. Thanks once more for joining me, and have a pleasant good evening.